Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Seeker, your host for the program, so very happy and blessed to be here with you today. Thanks for joining me. Well, we have a very special guest for you on today's program. Former abortionist Dr. Haywood Robinson will be joining me here in a few moments to talk about his journey as an abortion provider in Los Angeles, California, into the pro-life movement. Dr. Robinson currently serves as the 40 Days for Life Director of Medical Affairs and Education. Dr. Robinson will actually be making a stop here in Bloomington for the closing rally of this Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign, and that's on Saturday, March 27th at 6:30 p.m. So you're going to get a little sneak preview of some of what Dr. Robinson will have to say there on the public sidewalk at 421 South College Avenue at this closing event, which is coming up soon. But before we bring Dr. Robinson on, let's offer a prayer together. Lord, we lift up to you all abortionists and their staff, including all technicians, nurses, receptionists, counselors, and all who are employed or voluntarily assisting with the killing of the unborn in any way. We place each one of them in the innermost recesses of your sacred heart, your heart of mercy, compassion, and love for all your children. We pray that they will accept the supernatural graces that you give them this day to renounce the horrific killing of your children, the psychological, physical, and spiritual harm that they are doing to women through their actions, and the tremendous spiritual, physical, and psychological harm they are doing to themselves. As they approach you, encourage them to draw nearer and remove the veil that covers their eyes and blinds them to the truth. Pour out your tender, loving mercy upon them that they will see the truth, the reality, and the consequences of their actions. Draw them into the light of your love and penetrate their souls with the light of truth, the light of your knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We pray this in the holy name of Jesus through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest and Hawaiian Islands has recently closed three facilities in Washington State, and as many as six more are set to be shuttered by the end of the year. The abortion chain is blaming the closures on the coronavirus pandemic and low reimbursement rates in the state Medicaid program. Foot traffic into the facilities has dropped significantly, creating problems in the abortion giant's budget. Planned Parenthood is lobbying Washington State lawmakers, asking for an increase in Medicaid reimbursements so that they do not have to close even more facilities. Governor Jay Inslee, a pro-abortion Democrat, has already proposed a Medicaid rate increase for family planning in his 2021 budget. In February of 2019, Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest and Hawaiian Islands joined forces with Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky to create what officials called a strategic alliance in order to deliver timely, affordable, and expert health care and education to patients and their communities. At the time of the merger, Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky was losing money and customers, a trend that continues on in spite of the newly formed partnership. This past Monday, a Senate committee of the neighboring state of Kentucky advanced a bill that will amend the state's constitution to keep activist judges from inventing a state constitutional right to abortion, forcing taxpayers to subsidize abortions and restricting the state legislature from passing even minor common sense abortion restrictions. Last month, the amendment passed the Kentucky House by a strong majority, and the bill most recently sailed through the Senate committee 9-1. The legislation now moves to the full Senate for a vote before it can be placed on the ballot for Kentucky voters to decide its fate. West Virginia and Kansas have passed similar pro-life constitutional amendments after years of being forced by court rulings to fund abortions with taxpayer dollars. And late last week, a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit once again ruled in opposition to an Indiana law that limits a minor's ability to get an abortion without parental consent, known as the Senate Senate Enrolled Act 404, the 2017 law allows for minors to get an abortion without parental consent, provided they can obtain a court order allowing them to procure the abortion. The Seventh Circuit had affirmed a lower court decision against the new law back in 2019, but the Supreme Court vacated the judgment last July, sending the case back to the appeals court. Reagan appointee Judge Michael Caney authored the lone dissent, stating that Planned Parenthood failed to show that requiring mature minors to notify their parents that they intend to have an abortion constitutes an undue burden. This court should reverse the district court's injunction and let Indiana exercise its legislative judgment that a parental notification law best serves the interest of its citizens, Caney wrote. And finally, 22 unborn children lost their lives violently to abortion this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. For the second week in a row, Deb Nakatola was in town to perform the life-ending procedures. Though the number of clients coming into the Bloomington Planned Parenthood for other services is down significantly, abortion numbers are up. Be sure to sign up for some hours to pray there at 421 South College Avenue during this final week of 40 Days for Life, which continues on until the evening of Palm Sunday, March 28th. Also, don't forget about the closing rally there on Saturday, March 27th at 6:30 p.m., featuring former abortion provider Dr. Haywood Robinson. Dr. Robinson will relay how the mercy of God worked in his life to bring him to repentance and to now labor toward the building up of a culture of life. And that's your weekly in the news. Well, close to a couple of years ago on this program, my former co-host Rhonda Branham and I talked about the Society of Centurions, an organization that, under the leadership of Dr. Philip Ney, a psychiatrist from Canada, has helped former abortionists find the path to healing. Well, one of those physicians who has received help and fellowship from that organization is former abortion provider Dr. Haywood Robinson. Dr. Robinson will be making a stop here in Bloomington for the closing 40 Days for Life rally to be held at 421 South College Avenue, right outside of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, on Saturday, March 27th at 6:30 p.m. I've got Dr. Robinson on the line with me to give us a little preview of what he will be talking about that Saturday evening, March 27th. His conversion story and all the work that he does now for the Lord in helping to spread the gospel of life is nothing short of inspiring. We're blessed to have him on the show today. Dr. Haywood Robinson, welcome to Pro Life to the Max, and thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
Oh, it's just a blessing to be here with you and your radio audience, and I'm really looking forward to being with you guys in just a short time. I guess the audience might not know I was supposed to be coming through there about 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
When the North Pole invaded our area.
It did, yes.
I actually got as far as taking the regional jet to from College Station, Texas, which is about 100 miles north of Houston, where Texas A&M University is. I made it to Dallas-Fort Worth when I decided I'd review the weather in all that area, and I could see very clearly that even if I made it to the first airport, I wouldn't be able to drive around and make it. And I'm really glad that we postponed it, and we'll have a lot better opportunity to share and fight for the culture of life.
Yeah, the weather definitely will be much better this time around. And we are so grateful that you were able to reschedule so we could get you back. Yeah, thank you. Now, I presume that since we're in the midst of a 40 Days for Life campaign, you're probably busy traveling around and speaking at various campaigns, right?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm leaving today for really just two venues. It's a combination, recreation and work. I try to put those together, but just two stops within this week, and that will be Reno and Yuba City. And then later in the same week, not related to 40 Days for Life, we'll be speaking at a benefit for a pregnancy resource center, those have always been very dear to my heart. That was my first pro-life work, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh. Wonderful. So now you're the 40 Days for Life Director of Medical Affairs and Education. So when exactly did you take that task on?
Well, I've had that job now almost 2 years.
Okay.
But I have worked with 40 Days for Life really since its conception, no pun intended, approximately just under 20 years ago, when Planned Parenthood announced that they would be coming to Bryan College Station. Actually, it was a bit more than 20 years ago. This young lady, who at the time was a sophomore or junior, I believe, at the university, when that announcement was made, she called a meeting at St. Mary's Catholic Church, which is right across the street from the university. And there are about 200 or 300 of us there, and we didn't know what we were going to do, but an organization was started called the Brazos Valley Coalition for Life. And as a matter of fact, my wife, who is also a physician, she's OBGYN, was on, I think, the charter board. And we did, you know, several type of outreaches and protests. And that organization later became 40 Days for Life after they were having prayer among the staff. And the Lord clearly said to them, stand in front of these abortion facilities and have 40 days of prayer and fasting. And Bryan College Station was the first place that occurred. And what we noticed immediately that as we were out there, and we aren't blocking driveways, we aren't blocking the right-of-way, but we noticed that they had a drastic decrease in the traffic coming in the parking lot and the number of people coming to those facilities. And we had a second campaign, a second 40-day campaign. We also compared our findings, what we saw at the facility, along with county abortion statistics, and we found that the abortion rate was lowered during the time we were in front of those facilities. So then that was the very first 40 Days for Life campaigns, and then we were able to actually go public, so to speak, and say that this same simple model of praying in front of these abortion facilities saved babies. And the listening audience needs to know that we went from one prayer campaign to we're now having 657 campaigns globally. We're all around the planet now, from Mexico, South America, Europe, Philippines, Tanzania, Kenya, Nigeria. I could go on and on. Mm-hmm. We've saved almost 20,000 babies since these campaigns have started. More than 100 facilities, close to 110 abortion facilities, have been closed where pregnant, where these abortions are done, and about 200 workers have left the abortion industry. So when we think about these babies, you know, almost 20,000 babies who are now alive, and that's just what we know of,
right?
Because a lot of people drive by and don't even come in. So that's kind of where we are now, big campaign, and I just want to encourage those that are listening. Keep the faith and be not weary in doing good.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal little history there, background. I didn't realize you were involved that long with 40 Days for Life. So right from the beginning, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm one of the old sages.
Yeah. So you talk about, I just heard there too, the importance, the impact that it has in getting out there to be in front of the abortion centers. And that's just huge, isn't it? That witness.
It's very huge, but you know, it's funny how many times we as believers are surprised when we simply follow the model that the Lord gives us.
Yeah.
He tells us to pray and fast.
Yes.
And you go, oh my goodness, just look what happened. Well, duh. I mean, we're doing what
it's
the
true,
Word says to do.
That you do as the director of the medical affairs and education for 40 Days for
yes.
Life.
Well, several things, actually. We do podcasts. I'm part of a webcast also. I travel during the campaign times to encourage the people who are praying. It's very important that the people who are praying in front of these facilities get an opportunity to meet the people who are working on staff and working at headquarters. And we have just a wonderful time in fellowship, in prayer, and it's just encouraging for us also to see that there's so many people out there that care about these babies who are being led to slaughter. We are working in the most noble cause in history. We're losing about 60 million babies on the planet every year to abortion, and about 1.5 million.
That's mind-boggling right there, isn't it? That statistic right there. We should let that sink in.
Yeah, I can't imagine what 60 million people or anything is.
It's
a number, but we devalue these lives. I mean, even one is important, but 60 million around our planet are being taken away from us, and that's unfortunate. It's a great, great sin.
So that's important. Yeah, so we need that motivation to keep going.
We really do.
Yeah.
Also, one of the other things I do is write articles for various publications. As you know, with the internet now, we have a whole lot of opportunities to get our points of view out. Of course, there are some platforms that don't discriminate against us and censor us. Mm-hmm. But we have enough outlets now that we can definitely make an impact and get to people's ears and ultimately their hearts.
Yeah. And I will say, by the way, those podcasts are just excellent, and people can check those out at 40daysforlife.com. They're just excellent. Yeah. Okay, so what I want to do right now is just back up a little bit and talk about your time as a former abortionist. So were you an OBGYN or general practitioner? Or?
I am a family physician.
Okay.
My wife is OBGYN. We did train together in residency in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And during residency is when I learned to do what is called a dilation and curettage, or DNC, mm-hmm. which is a procedure that many women have had who don't have abortions. That same procedure is used when a woman may have a miscarriage.
And mm-hmm.
the contents of the uterus need to be cleared out. But that same procedure can be used to perform an abortion on a normal pregnancy. And so once I learned to do that procedure, as a matter of fact, my wife was part of my training.
Oh.
In the abortion procedure, and we started to moonlight or work after hours and on weekends at abortion facilities. During the time that we were in residency, there were just so many abortion centers in Southern California. It's very easy money to make, and basically the fee for an abortion would be split between the facility director and the physician, and it's very easy money. But the Lord ultimately had a different plan. You know, in 1986, March 2nd, the Lord saved me, rather atypically, at a Christian music concert, which ironically I'll be able to see that same artist a week from today.
Oh, wow.
But the Lord, after coming to the Lord in my Damascus Road experience,
uh-huh.
you know, one of the things, one of the focal points the Lord pointed out in me and my wife's past was our past with abortion. And he actually let us know how much it broke his heart, mm-hmm. which he didn't do until the time he gave us hope in Christ. And as you mm-hmm. said in your opening statement, we were involved with a wonderful ministry that Dr. Philip May in Victoria, British Columbia, leads for former abortion providers, be it nurses, doctors, receptionists, or whatever. Because mm-hmm. even if you do phone work in the facility, you're part of that killing machine. Well, what we did with the Centurion is basically get to some of the root causes. How could it be that a physician who's called to heal and to comfort, get to the point where you can just walk in a room and in 10 minutes take a woman's baby away. So we've had wonderful sessions with him. He's a wonderful writer, researcher, psychiatrist. As a matter of fact, we were supposed to try to visit him a few months ago, but because of the pandemic, we weren't able to get to him. But he's a wonderful man,
mm-hmm.
and it's the Centurion name came from the scripture where the centurion was kneeling at the cross. As Jesus died, he said, "Surely this must be the Son of God." And so it recognizes that all of these children are sons, and of course daughters too, of God, who is making these babies to be taken care of for us, but we reject them.
Yeah, and a lot of this just on the... relies on the mercy of God just ultimately. So you have to surrender to that. And did you have difficulty doing it? It doesn't sound like you did, huh?
Are we saying difficulty in performing?
In surrendering to that mercy of God, to just ultimately, you know, knowing how sinful it was, but yet ultimately also surrendering to that mercy that he offered. Was that an easy or difficult thing to do?
Well, it's easy once he saved you, because as you get to know him, you recognize that he's got plans for you. He's got a future for you. You know you have an eternal disposition with him.
Mm-hmm.
And his love is what, you know, cushions you and comforts you and lets you know he who has sinned much is loved much. And the Lord has a way of giving you that blessed assurance that he will now take over your life. You surrender to him, but you never have to worry about falling. He is the ultimate parent. He'll never leave or forsake you, and he'll only work every day to make you more like him in his image.
Yeah, that's some beautiful reflections there, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, sure is.
And I think about, too, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous who have no need to repent. So
Amen.
It's always beautiful.
I can't wait to see the place.
So did both of your conversions then, with you and your wife, did they happen simultaneously?
No, hers is a little bit different. See, she knew the Lord back when she was a child. However, you know how it is. When you go off to school and you're away from your family, you backslide. So she was really away from the Lord from the time she left her home country of Trinidad and Tobago. She came to Howard University, where she did undergrad and medical school. But we tried to attend church a couple of times, but you know, it was really just kind of just attending. And it wasn't until my Damascus Road experience, and she could see the change in me. So what that did was reignite the flame in her, and she rededicated her life to Christ, started reading the Bible, and then we started attending the very church where the Lord saved me. And we still attend that church. After, I guess now it's like 35 years, and that church has been such a blessing to us.
That's a beautiful story. So when you were actually doing the abortions, did you have any qualms at the time? Was there anything there kind of telling you this isn't quite right?
Well, yes. When you first get started, I think you do have what I call a little bit of a cerebral queasiness.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're kind of in a situation where you've got, you know, your attending senior doctors are there with you, your superiors that are higher level residents and interns, and it just seems okay with them. But I remember seeing my first abortion, and you go, well, it's not quite right. Then you go, well, it looks like everybody else is doing fine. But what is happening, those are the initial steps of the desensitization and dehumanization that the doctor is projecting onto the baby and the woman. And also the doctor becomes progressively dehumanized and desensitized to the fact that they are killing a human being. But what happens is it's a seductive, progressive condition that hardens your heart so that, you know, it becomes routine. So what I caution medical students and anyone in the medical field, don't even go see an abortion. Don't get involved in it anyway, because that's the first step in being, I guess, just seduced and engulfed by this evil.
Yeah, and that explains, too, why once that kind of that hardness of heart is there and you're hardened to the fact of that yes, that is a human being, only God's grace can penetrate that. It explains, too, why 40 Days for Life is so important, the prayer and the fasting, right?
Exactly. But, you know, the prayers, as I said earlier, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And once the Lord, you know, gets a hold of you, oh, boy, it's a ride.
Yes.
It's a beautiful ride. And, you know, I kind of ask myself, well, why did the Lord, you know, allow me all that time to be involved with abortions, and then when I'm 30-something years old, save me? Wouldn't it have been better if none of those babies had died by my hand. But, you know, those are the types of things that God knows. He is sovereign. All I can say now is that we move forward from here, acknowledging that those babies I will see again. And just, of course, we've learned from the past that we're going to do all we can right now to prevent as many abortions and save as many babies as we can through this ministry of 40 Days for Life. And all pro-life ministries, we're all working together, big pregnancy resource centers, maternity homes, adoption centers, all kinds of pro-life. We're all working together for the same purpose.
That's right. The whole body of Christ, and every part is needed, isn't it?
There are no extra parts. They're all important.
That's right. Well, with that much being said, too, though, what does make 40 Days for Life unique?
I think it's, as I said, the model is simple. But I think what made us so unique, we started with just one campaign. I want to remind the audience, those of you that saw the movie Unplanned, which was about Abby Johnson walking out of Planned Parenthood one day, and she was the 26th abortion worker to leave a facility. And as I said earlier, it had, you know, about 200 or so leave to this point. Well, you know, it's unique in that people come out and then go to the other side. We need to have the audience recognize the conversion door only swings one direction. You don't see people who are pro-life and then all of a sudden get a revelation that abortion is a good thing to do.
That's
so it's very
true.
Encouraging to see people saved and turned around, because you can then see, you know, the work of the Lord. Also want to tell the audience what also makes us unique. We occupy at the headquarters of 40 Days for Life.
Yes.
Is the former closed Planned Parenthood facility in there, how we turned it around. And then
that's phenomenal.
And then my wife and I relocated our practice there. So here we have two former abortionists.
Wow.
A beautiful pro-life ministry that, and also what makes it unique is that the growth, how it went from 1 to 600 and something in under 20 years, and it's so easily replicated in any location, any language, it can be done. It's a simple, simple, highly reproducible model.
I love that. Dr. Robinson, we are quickly running out of time. But the good news is that our listeners will have an opportunity to hear more from you again here soon. In fact, on Saturday evening, March 27th at 6:30 p.m., right there on the public sidewalk in front of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. And I just want to say thank you, Dr. Haywood Robinson, 40 Days for Life, Director of Medical Affairs and Education. Thank you so much for taking the time today to speak with us and for all that you and Noreen are doing to promote a culture of life and love, because, I mean, what a beautiful witness you give, and we thank God for His great mercy that has been at work within you.
Amen. Well, it's been my pleasure, and I look forward to seeing the folks that, or at least some of them that have been listening to this wonderful radio show.
Yeah, well, thank you, and hopefully we can get a good-sized group out there for you.
Amen.
Okay. God bless you.
God bless you guys.
Okay. Well, we are entering into the final week of this 2021 Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign, and as always, we still need lots of help. You can sign up for an hour to pray there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood by going to 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington. And most especially, we hope to see you there on Saturday, March 27th, beginning at 6:30 p.m., when we'll hear more from Dr. Haywood Robinson, who is going to urge us on to keep fighting the good fight. He's living proof of what the mercy of God is capable of accomplishing when we place all of our hope and trust in Him. I'm out of time. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next week, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.